This, of course, is the second message in our series in Hebrews chapter 11. We've entitled The Journey of Faith. And last week we began our study in God's Hall of Faith here. And again, when boiling down this blessed chapter of the Word of God, we come to the thought of exhortation by examples. God exhorts us and encourages us by some examples here. And again, what are our goals as we study this chapter? It's that our faith would increase, amen, that we would grow more like Jesus Christ, that our faith would be strengthened, our faith would grow, amen, and our faith would be active. And we studied last week, we looked at the four times in the Bible that God had penned, the just shall live by faith. Habakkuk 2:4, Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, and then Hebrews 10:38. We talked about the differentiation of faith. If you go back to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38, it says there, the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul hath no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but unto them that believe to the saving of the soul. Hey, listen, if you trusted Jesus Christ in Him alone, God has saved your soul. Amen. And that's the kind of faith we're talking about. There's some other faith. There's that intellectual faith. We talk about, can you believe the flies are still flying? Amen. In January. I was ducking them during choir practice, amen. So if you see me do a little karate moves up here, I promise you it's not showmanship, it's just flymanship, amen. We talked about the intellectual faith, how the Bible says in James 2:19, there, thou believest there's one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. You know, there's a lot of people with faith right here, but it never gets to here, amen? Never makes that 18-inch drop from head to heart. There's also a dead faith, those people that have a dead profession and never do anything for God. James chapter 2, verse 26 says, faith without works is dead. By the way, that does not mean that we're saved by our works, and all God's people said. But because we are saved, we desire to work, for we are His workmanship. And then if there's, of course, saving faith. So we talked about the differentiation of faith. We talked about the description of faith found in verse number 1. We find faith's definition there, where it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the solid, unshakable confidence of God, which is built on the assurance that He will be faithful to His promises. Boy, when I sum up the faith of a little child, they have it like this. God said it and He'll do it. Amen? Boy, you know what we need? We need that kind of faith. We need that faith that little child says, well, if God said it, He's going to do it. Amen? Boy, we need to be that way. Amen? So we talked about faith's definition. And then we talked about, also in verse 1, faith's production. Faith's production, it produces substance. And we looked at that substance. It means confidence, amen. Faith produces confidence in God. And then faith also produces evidence, the evidence of things not seen. And we talked about that. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've been saved any length of time, thank God for the evidence that God gives in our souls that we are the children of God. So faith's definition, faith's description. We talked about the production there, the substance, the evidence. And then we talked about the decoration of faith in verse 2. Look at it. For by it, what's the it there? Well, of course, it's faith. The elders obtained a good report. And then we talked about the deduction of faith found in verse number 3. Through faith, we understand, we deduce. It's common spiritual sense through faith that God framed the worlds by the Word of God. By the way, every explanation of man comes woefully short than the simple explanation, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The scientist, he can't take you back there. Because you know what? Only God was there. And by the way, the scientists fall short because God breaks scientific laws when He makes the world. I talked last week about the folly of the Big Bang, and Brother Merrill came up to me afterwards and gave me that classic Brother Merrill. He said, I got a bone to pick with you. And I said, oh boy, here it comes, amen. But whenever Brother Merrill does that, he's always a bit joking, amen. And he said, I believe in the Big Bang. And I said, great, you didn't even listen to my message. Thanks, Brother Merrill, amen. But he said, no, God said it, and bang, it happened. Amen. And that certainly is how it is. So we talked about the deduction of faith, the origin of the universe, the worlds and the Word, and the creation and the Creator, and the design and the designer. Then we talked about the order of the universe that we find there also in verse number 3. It says, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. God made everything out of nothing. Amen. Tonight, we will look at the first person named in this great hall of faith, outside of God, that is. It's the first exhortation by example given to us in Hebrews 11, and his name is Abel. Look at verse 4 with me, if you would, please. Look at your Bibles. It says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. You know, the Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen? We know that. Everybody that has been born since Adam has been born a sinner. Amen? Because of Adam and Eve's sin. But Abel is one of three characters in this chapter that do not have any sort of mark against them in the Word of God. I wonder if anybody did any study. We talked about that last week. Did anybody study that out and find out which three characters it was? It's Abel, it's Enoch, and it's Joseph. Amen. Joseph, the perfect type of Christ. Everyone else we could certainly find fault. Amen. And so, but here is Abel. We know he's a sinner because the Word of God declares all have sinned. Amen, church? But there's no mark against him in the Word of God. He's mentioned 12 times in the Word of God. 8 times in the Old Testament, all in Genesis chapter 4, and we're going to turn there in just a little bit. He's mentioned 4 times in the New Testament. Matthew 23:35 says that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zacharias, the son of Barachias, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. And here's showing that the first bit of righteous blood that was slain on the earth was Abel. The parallel verses in Luke 11:51, he's mentioned right here in our text in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. And then he's mentioned over in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. If you could sum up the book of Hebrews, ladies and gentlemen, it's all about how Jesus is better than. And then fill in the blank. He's better than angels. Amen? He's better than Moses. He's better than Melchizedek. He's better than the blood of bulls and goats and calves. Amen. He's better than the blood of Abel. Amen. By the way, he's better because he's God. Amen. Go over with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 4. Hold your place there in Hebrews 11. And go with me to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. And we'll read here a little bit, kind of give us the context, because as we study this chapter in Hebrews chapter 11, many times we'll have to go back and read the original account that God gives us in the Old Testament to gain the understanding of what happened here. And so let's read, if you would, there. You can remain seated, and we'll just go ahead and begin reading in verse 1. It says, and Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And can I say this was Eve thinking that God had sent the promised one of Genesis chapter 3 verse 15. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. That God promised a redeemer, a savior would come. He'd be born of a woman and Satan would bruise his heel, but he would bruise Satan's head and we'd become victorious over Satan. Here Eve believes that Cain is that man. Verse 2, it says, and she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was the keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up and slew against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. Now we kind of see the context here of what we're talking about. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Number one tonight, I want to look at, if you would, the way of Abel's faith. The way. Can we say this? It was by faith in the Word. By faith in the Word. See, all true faith in God revolves around receiving, relying upon the Word of God. Now, in that day, Abel didn't have a Bible like you and I did, but God spoke to Adam. Amen? God spoke out loud. And so, we must especially rely on the scriptural principle of Romans 10:17. If you know it, church, would you say it aloud with me? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We must rely on that when we look at this account, because of Abel specifically being given this command is not shown in the Bible. Talking about the sacrifice, all the sacrificial principles. God doesn't reveal that to us. But again, fret not about that. There are several accounts in the Bible like this. In Acts chapter 20, verse 35, Paul quotes Jesus concerning giving, and he says, it is more blessed to give than receive. He says, Jesus said it was more blessed to give than to receive. You know, if you will look at your Bible, and you'll look and look and look and look and look and look in the Gospels, you won't find where Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Doesn't mean he didn't say it. Amen? Doesn't mean he didn't say it. He just chose to record it this one time. Here, also there's a passage in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8, where it talks about Jannes and Jambres and how they withstood Moses. You won't find that in the Pentateuch. Find it in the New Testament. God referenced it. How about Elijah's prayer in James 5:17, that he prayed that it might not rain and it rained not, and he prayed that it would rain and it rained again. You won't find that prayer in the Old Testament. Doesn't mean it didn't happen. Doesn't mean God didn't say it. Amen. And so, by the way, here's a great principle. The Holy Spirit records incidents recorded nowhere else in the Bible. After all, the ultimate author of the Bible is the Holy Spirit, and He can reveal what He wants to whom He wants when He wants. Amen. And so here, Abel, how do we know it's by faith in the Word? Well, if you go back to Genesis, and again, we just went back there, we find that clearly by faith, after man's fall, God had given the promise of the seed of a woman. We know that in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Then we learn of God making coats of skins to cover Adam and Eve. Genesis 3:21 says, "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord make coats of skins and clothe them." You remember what happened? Adam and Eve have sinned and they had sewed themselves little fig leaves together. And that would not do. And I believe the principle here that we see and we find throughout the Scripture is by faith in the Word, God took two innocent animals and slayed them and gave those skins to Adam and Eve. Why? Well, what was the way of Abel? It was the way by faith in the Word, but it was also the way by the shedding of blood. All throughout the Scriptures, God requires the shedding of blood for a covering for sin. Amen, church? This is no exception early on. Sin required an innocent substitute. Leviticus 17:11 says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood." By the way, that's a great verse if you're ever dealing with somebody who wants to tell you that a fetus, a baby in the womb, is just a little blob of cells. As soon as it has blood, it has life. Amen. "The life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it upon you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is of the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." Hebrews 9:22 says, "And almost all things of the law are purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission." See, those fig leaves couldn't give them any covering. See, there's a lot of people that have fig leaf religion, that are trying to cover their own sins with their own works, with their church membership, with their baptism, with their charitable giving. But no, it required the shedding of blood. And it's quite obvious that God transferred this principle when He gave Adam and Eve coats of skins to Adam, because if you go back into Genesis chapter 4 and you read that Cain brought an offering to God that he was not pleased with, and Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock, and God had respect under his offering. Why? Because it was a blood offering, a sacrifice, an acceptable covering. And so Abel knew that he was to bring an innocent lamb and shed its blood. Why? By faith in what God had said. By faith. It says there in our text, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain." What was the way of his faith? It was by faith in the Word, by the shedding of blood. Number two, I want you to notice, if you would with me, the worth of Abel's faith. Not only the way of Abel's faith, but the worth. We see there, first of all, he offered unto God. Abel offered a lamb unto God. Genesis 4:4, "And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto his offering." Can we say, first of all, under the worth of Abel's offering, it was a sacrifice. It was a sacrifice. And can we say this? It was not just in the theological sense a sacrifice, and in the financial sense a sacrifice, but also in the emotional sense it was a sacrifice. You know, shepherds love sheep. They do. They learn to love their sheep. They care for their sheep. You know, remember where Jesus talked about in Luke 15:4 when he gave the parable of the lost sheep? Didn't he say, "What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one, doth not go into the wilderness and find that he is lost?" Why? Because he cares for the sheep. You know, the hireling doesn't care for the sheep. Amen? John chapter 10 says, "The hireling fleeth because he's an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known." Aren't you glad Jesus cares for us sheep? I sure am. This was a sacrifice. It was offered unto God. There was not only a sacrifice, but there was a shedding. You see, it says it was a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. What was the worth there? Death was required and blood was to be shed to show the awfulness of sin. I tell you, many a times The Holy Spirit has convicted me about sin in my life. And by the way, He should be convicting us every day. We've not arrived. Amen? We've not arrived. As long as you got flesh, you'll have sin. Amen? As long as you got this old body, you're going to have to deal with wrong thoughts and wrong actions. But I'll tell you what has helped me more than anything else is to make sin exceeding sinful. You know, early in my Christian life, how I stopped drinking, I started to see bloody roadside accidents caused by that wicked hell water. That sin might be exceeding sinful. I saw people that committed wickedness and fornication, and a baby ended up on some butcher abortion table. That sin might be exceeding. You know, God wants us to see sin that way. Not to take it so lightly, amen. Hey, listen, the reason Jesus died was because of our sin. And you see Him hanging on that cross and shedding His blood, having His beard plucked out, that your sin wouldn't be taken so lightly and it would be exceeding sinful. You see, Abel's sacrifice was more excellent than Cain because there was not only a sacrifice, but there was the shedding of blood. You read about Jewish history and how they had to slay the lamb. They had to extend that neck where the slayer was looking right into the eyes of the lamb as he took the knife across its throat and shed the blood into the basin. He had to look right into the eyes of that innocent lamb as he slayed it. Oh, that before we would sin willfully, we'd look into the eyes of the slain lamb. Amen. See, it was a more excellent sacrifice. It was a sacrifice. There was a shedding. Oh, I love this. There was a substitute. Great quote here from a Bible expositor I enjoy reading. He says this, "The whole human race sinned in Adam. And the wages of sin is death, penal death, the penalty. We owe the penalty. Either I must be paid those wages and suffer that death, or another, an innocent one, on whom death has no claim, must be paid those wages in my stead." All through the Old Testament, a lamb, a lamb, a lamb, innocent, a lamb, a lamb, a lamb. Then he goes on to say this, "And in order to my receiving that link of contact between me and Him, faith it is which unites to Christ. Saving faith, then in the simplest form, is the placing of a substitute between my guilty self and a sin-hating God." See, that's why Abel's sacrifice was more excellent than Cain. Why? Because there was a substitute. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, "For He, God the Father, hath made Him, God the Son, to be sin for us that knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." We mentioned last week how in Romans chapter 5:1 it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Why? Because He's the substitute. He takes God's anger and God's wrath and He took it all on Himself. And He said, justified by faith. And He took God the Father's hand in our hand and put it together. And the Bible says we have peace with God. Not because of our own works, but because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did. Why? Because He was a substitute. The way of Abel's faith was by faith in the Word, by the shedding of blood. The worth of Abel's faith, there was a sacrifice, there was a shedding, there was a substitute. Number three, the witness of Abel's faith. Look, if you would, again at Hebrews 11:4. "By which," speaking of his faith, speaking of the more excellent sacrifice, "he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts." His faith caused God to testify on his behalf. Wow. You thought about that? I've read that so many times. His faith caused God to say that he was righteous because of his faith. And not only that, his faith caused him to have the approval of God. I have seen Christians go through some of the deepest trials and valleys and continue serving God. Continue loving God. Continue walking with God. And you know what I think God says in heaven, Brother Glenn? I think if he converses with Satan, which of course we know he does there in Job, I think he says, look at that. See that right there? You've tried everything to break them and you can't do it. Why? By faith. Oh, I'll tell you what. By faith we have God's approval. God looks at how you serve Him by faith and says, that's my servant right there. Oh, have the smile of God upon our lives. Amen. You get down and pray, and can we say this? Maybe you pray for your enemies like Jesus said to. Quiet on that one. And then God looks at you and says, see, faith, that's my servant right there. That's my servant. And he said here, he got Abel's approval, or Abel got God's approval. He got that he was righteous, that he had God's approval. The witness of Abel's faith, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Who is that witness? God himself said, he's righteous, he's mine. Listen, let me tell you a little bit about Abel, God said. Not only the witness of Abel's faith, the way of Abel's faith, the worth of Abel's faith. Let me give you number four and lastly tonight, the wonder of Abel's faith. The wonder of Abel's faith. The last part of the verse says, and he, being dead, yet speaketh. I've been to a lot of funerals. I've never had the corpse, as I walked by, say, how are you? If it did, I'd be out the door, running. It'd be strange. It would be amazing. But you know what this says right here? By it, by his faith in God, he being dead yet speaketh. It's amazing that Abel's and every other person that has placed their faith in God, God's Word, God's substitute, Jesus Christ, all those people's faith, though they are long dead, keeps speaking. I think about that. I think about preachers that have gone on. I think of the story of Charles Spurgeon, one of the most gifted preachers that has ever existed, known as the Prince of Preachers in the late 1800s. His church would literally be so packed out where he would ask his church members to stay home one Sunday night a month just so the lost people could get in. And his dear wife bore him twins. And during the birth of those twins, she had a gynecological problem, and it caused her for the rest of her life, a lady in her 20s, to be an invalid, and she couldn't hear her great husband come and preach the Word of God. She couldn't get to the tabernacle. There was no handicap access in those days. And she went into deep despair about how she couldn't gather with God's people. And by the way, pray for shut-ins. They want to be here, amen. There's some people that could be here that aren't here, but there are a lot of people that would love to be here, but they just can't. And Mrs. Spurgeon went into deep despair, and her husband would preach, and people would be saved, and her husband would preach, and Christians would get right, but she couldn't hear them. But she began to transcribe his sermons. She would write down his sermons word for word. And you know, most preachers today, there's about a 31-volume set called the Metropolitan Tabernacle that you can buy. And can I tell you, yes, that's Charles Spurgeon's faith that's speaking, his words. But you know whose else it is? Mrs. Spurgeon. She being dead. Hey, you know Christians that are in the ground, but they're still speaking. People that have influenced your life. I think many of you senior saints have told me about Pastor Pease and what he meant to you. He being dead, yet speaketh. I think in my own life of Dr. Malone, who invested so much in people and how he affects my sermon preparation and how I go about looking at the Word of God, he being dead, yet speaketh. The wonder of Abel's faith. The story is told of Dwight L. Moody. Dwight L. Moody was a great soul winner. And there was a man, the man who led Dwight L. Moody to the Lord will have a part in the interest of... You know, Dwight L. Moody was a shoe salesman. And a man named Edward Kimball led Dwight L. Moody to the Lord. Mr. Moody had come to his class and he visited him, a Sunday school teacher. Just a Sunday, not a preacher. A layman, Edward Kimball, led D.L. Moody to the Lord. And D.L. Moody is said to have shaken the hand of a million converts. But you know, Edward Kimball, he being dead, yet speaketh. I think of those that have lived their lives for Christ. Here, Abel. What's the wonder of Abel's faith? He being dead, yet speaketh. Mother, said a sweet Christian girl one evening, I want you to give me a little apple tree in our orchard. Why, my child? They are all yours and they belong to our family. Yes, but I mean something different. I would like to have a little tree for my very own, and the apples which it bears I would like to give as a present to the Lord. The child was allowed to choose a tree. Placing her hand on the trunk, she said, Little tree, now you belong to the Lord Jesus. Sometime later, the mother sent a gift to some missionaries, and after relating the above incident, continued, Our little one was suddenly taken home to be with the Lord. She has now been in heaven a year, and this year the tree bore fruit for the first time. I am enclosing what we received from the sale of the apples. Yes, church, Christians rest from their labor. Yes, church, their works do follow them. And yes, they being dead, yet speaketh. The wonder of Abel's faith. Though he's dead, his faith lives on. The witness of Abel's faith, the worth of Abel's faith, the way of Abel's faith. Father,